Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. As the saying goes, I don't know much about art, but I knows what I like. And when the artistic project in question is called Free Beer, well, what's not to like? Bjorn Christensen is part of a Copenhagen-based artistic trio called Superflex, whose work challenges ideas of ownership, copyright, and dominant global power relationships. Bjorn joins me now. Well, normally I'd be a bit concerned about talking about art for 10 minutes with someone. It's a bit difficult often to get things across on radio, but your art, the work of Superflex, is very conceptual and probably contains a lot of intellectual ideas, doesn't it? I mean, tell me about the Free Beer Project for a start.
The Free Beer Project started 3 years ago when we were teaching at the IT University in Copenhagen. We were doing a course about intellectual property copyright. So we invited different groups of people from different fields to give introductions and to talk about copyright, intellectual property from their perspective. So we invited something called the Pirate Group, similar group as the Pirate Bay and so on, and people to give a talk about copyright history. And then we were giving the students an assignment where we wanted to try to see if it was possible to use the open source free software philosophy and transfer that into another line of products, so not digital.
Just to be by way of background, the open source, some of our listeners might not be conversant with them, the open source philosophy with software is that you make the software freely available to people to change how they want. You essentially give them the instruction manual, don't you?
And no,
give
them the toolkit. I think the most important thing about open source is that you make a source and then you make everyone else able to keep on working on that source, but they have to keep their work open for others to use it. So the first user will be able to use any other user's input. Mm. So this sort of line of development that can never be stopped.
And it's a very rapid development, isn't it? Because you've got this potential collaboration with the whole damn world.
Exactly. And you don't have anyone deciding whether it's a correct moment to make an adaptation or program further on and so on.
So in a way, people who aren't familiar with it might like to remind themselves of how Wikipedia works, where it's there, but everybody can get at it and make changes as they wish.
Sure.
But sometimes, yeah, but better. Now, you've decided to apply, rather than to software, you decided to apply this to beer.
Yeah, we decided to adapt it onto beer because we thought that beer is such a wonderful product. First of all, you can consume it, you can share it, and in the sharing, you also start talking, start exchanging. So basically, it was that you would look upon open source as making a recipe, then having other people use that recipe and giving feedback on the recipe. So with the students, we developed their recipe, and together with the home brewer, he then brewed 80 liter of beer, so not that much. We made a identity, a profile. We also chose a licensing. Also to introduce that, there are many types of licensing today. The most common ones are the classical copyright, patenting systems. This is what we normally know of, but over the last 20 years, there's been several attempts on trying to develop new type of licensings, meaning there are new ways of dealing with rights. One of them is called Creative Commons, which means that you create something and you let other people use it, and it's for the benefit of the commons. And we then choose to use one of them, which is the share alike, which means that everybody can use it and also make money on it, which from our point of view is the most important part of it, to present to the public that this is not just a hippie idea. Like, it's not a socialist model. It's actually a model that works really effectively within our capitalist society.
And now the Creative Commons license, I mean, there are various ways, as you say, of doing it, isn't there? So that you can, in your situation, you can sell it, you can make money from it, but you have to give credit in return, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, yeah. And then we had those 80 liter of beer.
I don't think those 80 liters must have. I don't think that 80 liters would have lasted much past the development stage. I think you probably, you had to brew another 80 pretty
soon. At first we actually made those 80 liters, and then we sent out a press release, and we invited people. There are probably 50 people came. But then the surprising thing was that then in the next day already BBC, CNN, New York Times, the whole media more or less took it on and started discussing it. So we were quite surprised.
They really are magic words, aren't they?
Yeah, they were. And then both free beer and then linking it with open source just made a boom somehow. And we were called by American radio stations and so on. And I think the triggering point was exactly what I said before, that all of a sudden talking about a recipe this is what everybody can relate to. You got a recipe from your grandmother, you improve it, you give it on to another person, he talks about it, he gives you feedback, and through that you have a development. And this is basically our philosophy in general, that that we think that all that the rights today are limiting the way that our society is developing, at least the way that rights has been developing over the years. The copyright system, trademark system, intellectual property system, where you have such a small group of people actually owning a lot of our cultural rights. And this is very problematic.
Being an artist, though, I mean, a lot of your, you know, your income, your whole, the basis that you do things on must revolve around retaining a large, you know, a great deal of your rights to your work. I mean, if
not necessarily, because I believe that you look at the art world, you look at the art institution, it's a place where you invite people in to get some input. It's not only entertainment, it's also a place where you have possibility of communicating, presenting ideas, presenting examples, where you let others take them on, use them further on, and then hopefully they can then think about what they saw in the exhibition and so on. So our philosophy and our thinking about the art world is that it is a discussion forum, first of all, a communication forum, and rights are not really very relevant there. But of course, when you look at the economic system of the art world, you make a painting or you make a work and then it goes into an economic system of galleries and so on and being sold. But you don't need to limit the use of those ideas, limit the use of the images also.
So your idea is that people get paid in the way they do now, but that you don't put a control on what they've been paid for.
Yeah, partly. But I think the most important, what I see, is that when you develop ideas, there are no ideas that are original in a sense. They all develop on something else. Like we sit around the table, one of you puts something on the table, an idea, I give you feedback on it, and another one gives you feedback on it, you can then take that back and work on it in one direction, I can work in another direction. This is how our society, this is how ideas develop. This is actually also the most dynamic form of our society and relations between people. And I think the economic system should also work with those terms.
The thing that's intrigued me a long time is that in recent decades we've had enormous economic growth and enormous growth in productivity and automation and efficiency, and yet the proceeds of that don't seem to have been shared very evenly. And I've wondered if copyright is to a large extent responsible for corralling the fruits of that growth. Would you say that's
yeah, fully,
possible?
Yeah, fully, I fully agree. And when you look further on to the patent system, intellectual property system in general, is that that is so that, for example, you look at the bio piracy, for example. For many years, there's Indians have been using something called neem. Neem is something you can use from a tree, use it for soap, toothpaste, and so on. And all of a sudden, there's an American or German medical company who comes in and look at this use of neem, and then they register it and write down in medical terms for the Western society to understand what it is, and then they go to the EU court and then say to EU and they get a patent. And all of a sudden, limiting for all Indians to use the neem plant for what they normally used it for, and this is absurd. So instead, they should just package the neem in toothpaste or medicine or whatever they would like, and then distribute it. So I think it more comes down to the packaging, the labeling, the branding, the identity around it, and where no one should have the right to kind of stop a process.
Yeah, it's the problem you've got of people wanting to clip the ticket in perpetuity, isn't it? That if they can have a piece of everything, that they've got this money earner without having to do any more. And it really is runs contrary to how we can all actually share the wealth, doesn't it?
Mm, yeah.
I think, I mean, we could probably talk for a long time on this. I'm really interested to hear about the Guarana Power project you did. But just finishing up for now on the free beer. If people want, I mean, people can actually go online to freebeer.org, right? They can get your beer recipe, your beer labels. They can make their own free beer.
They can make their own free beer. They can produce it. They can go to a brewery and say, "I've seen this recipe on the website. I think it's a cool idea. I think it's a good thing. Should we start producing it and distributing it in New Zealand, for example?"
It's been all around the world, hasn't it? I mean,
it's been all around the world: Japan, Germany, England, Denmark, and so on. Breweries, home brewers, many people taking it on, and then opening up the recipe for others to use it. So now we are at stage 4.1, which we opened up yesterday at ArtSpace.
Now, the exhibition on ArtSpace is on for how long?
It's going to be on for a month, I think.
And there's going to be beer available from the opening throughout the exhibition, is that right?
Yes, yes.
Brilliant. So if you're in Auckland, Art Space is on K Road. And if not, then freebeer.org. And have you got another website that people can look at the work of Superflex?
People can go to www.superflex.net.
And that exhibition by Bjorn and the Superflex Trio, If Value Then Copy, is on at Auckland's Art Space now. Coming up after the break, Russell Brown talks to the Headless Chickens.